Good morning. Oh, I want that hour back. Yeah, September. Prayerfully, spring has arrived. Got a couple of announcements. We had our second membership class today. If you are still interested in joining the church, you can do that. Just call the office or me and let us know. My number can be found in the bulletin, cell phone number. Call me anytime. Tomorrow night, Monday night, at Garden City United Methodist Church in Monroeville, Bishop Cynthia Koikoi will be there to discuss the ruling of the special general conference that was held, where the delegates voted in favor of keeping the traditional church plan, which basically keeps church the way it is. And she's going to discuss that, have a time of questions and answers. So you are all invited to that. It begins at 6:30. 6 o'clock, the doors will be open with refreshments. Garden City United Methodist Church in Monroeville. And just a heads up, this is way down the road, but Good Friday. Good Friday, we are going to offer a viewing of The Passion. It's The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. It is not a movie for the faint of heart, but we're going to show that Good Friday night upstairs, 6 o'clock, and you are all invited. Bring your family, friends, whatever. There will be communion following the movie. And if you need to talk to Pastor Ron or myself, we will also make ourselves available for that. It's a very graphic movie, but a wonderfully made movie, and very appropriate for Good Friday. Okay, so you can put those things on your calendar. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we are here because you told us to gather here. We are here because that's what it says to do in the Bible. We are here, Lord, to be a witness to our family and friends that we are your children called by your name. We are here to say that we believe in those things that we can't see as well as in those things that we do see. We are here, God, to say thank you, to say your will be done. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus, to glorify you and to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So have your way with us. Pour out your spirit upon this service and all that follows today, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you and life-changing to all of us. Fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church. I see you're all just about seated. And as you are returning to your pews, I also want to offer a warm welcome this morning. And as we open our worship service now, this is our time for our moments of informality. And that's why I'll take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of the church. And if you would like some information about the church, I'm looking out to see if we have any visitors. Any visitors out there? If we do have visitors and you would like some information, please don't hesitate to see the pastor after worship, or to call upon one of the ushers. They will bring you a packet of information, or if you so desire, immediately out these double doors in our narthex, you will see a shepherd's hook, and you can get that packet of information yourself. Also, I'd like to remind you, please sign the red registration page. It's in the red folder, that registration page. Sign that and bring it back to the center aisle for our ushers to collect after worship. Also, if you have a prayer request or another announcement that you need or message that you need to get to the pastor, please use the 3x5 index cards. Those are in those red folders, and the ushers will bring them forward to the pastor before our prayer. Our Bible memory verse for March. We are in the second Sunday of March, first Sunday of Lent. It is located on the front page, top center of your bulletin. I would ask that we recite that through twice, and let's do that together. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We have quite a number of announcements, but first I would like Diane Runser to come to the podium for her announcement.
I will be passing the clipboard around. There's nothing new on there, but double check if you haven't filled it out yet to see where you can serve your church. Secondly, it's that season of preparation, not only for the preparation of Easter, but for preparation for Living Last Supper. On the table in the entrance hall, there are posters. There are pocket posters, which are the things that look like tickets. There's about 400 of those out there, at least there was. So, you know, pick up a handful and pass them on in the community. There are also yard signs and legs. Make sure you take both. The yard sign doesn't do much good if you have nothing to put it in the yard with. Remember to ask permission if it's not on your property. Remember to ask permission before you just kind of stick it anywhere. It's really good if it goes by where people have to stop, like at a corner, so they have time to read the sign. So be sure to pick those up. And if you have one stashed away at your house for safekeeping, which I know there are some who do, find where you put it and stick it out. We'd appreciate it. This Thursday, we start rehearsals for the choir. If any of you would like to sing and could commit for this about 5 weeks, please come out Thursday. It's at 8:15. That is not in the bulletin for some reason, so please mark that about 8:15, and we're done by 9 o'clock. And that's from teenagers up. That's from teenagers up. I'm going to look at that section of the church over there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Diane. I will highlight a few additional announcements. Our March camp fundraiser, our camp steward, Laurie, has asked me to announce that the pizza, hoagie, and pepperoni sale is currently going on. That's the fundraiser for the youth that want to attend camp. That is today and next Sunday. The order forms are on the camp table in the assembly room. That's outside the double doors, turn right, and it's the last room there on the right. It's near Pastor Bruce's office. Please place your order in the box that's labeled Camp Fundraiser, and you don't have to pay until you pick them up on the 24th. So again, please plan on supporting our Camp Fundraiser. From Bernie, who is leading the Lenten book study entitled Because of This I Rejoice, it did begin this past Friday and will meet every Friday for the next 5 weeks, ending on April 12th. It's not too late yet to join into that book study. They meet at 1 p.m. in the assembly room off the narthex. And if you have any questions, please see Bernie for that Lenten book study. Also, not in your bulletin, but a message from SPRC Chair Eric, that's the staff parish, will have a quick meeting today immediately following worship, and that will be in the parlor. And then there will also be a scheduled SPRC meeting for this Tuesday, 6 p.m. So if you are a member of the SPRC, please plan on staying for a quick meeting after worship. And there will be no coffee hour today, and it's a very good reason. Our outreach committee has prepared for us and planned good food and great fellowship. Today is our soup luncheon. It is in located on our gymnasium level, two floors down. There will be soup, sandwiches, and cake for you to enjoy. So we hope to see as many as you can. This is one of the favorite outreach committee fundraisers here in the church. And just a final reminder, please check your bulletin for other activities and announcements in the life of our church. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to God as our worship begins.
During the weeks before Christmas, we celebrate the anticipation of the coming of the Christ child with candles. One by one, during Advent, we light the candles of peace, hope, joy, and love, all in preparation for the beginning of Christ's life on earth. All of this, of course, culminates on Christmas Day, a holy day when we light the Christ candle itself. The Christ candle represents the light of Jesus Christ shining in the world, living in our midst, coming forth to save us, and inviting us to its warmth. That is a joyous season. Well, today we are in another season, the season of Lent. Lent is the season before Easter. It is in some ways the opposite of Advent. It is a very sober, which means serious, season. It is the time of preparation for the coming of Christ's Passion Week. During Lent, we tune into the dark days that got darker and even darker and ended in Christ's death.
I am Philip. I remember that those were days of conflict and rejection, of suffering and betrayal. They were days that ended with the extinguishing of the light of Christ's candle, which was lit for us at Christmas. We know now that Christ's light would be rekindled and lit again in each of us, but in these coming weeks, let us tune in to the darkening days of Lent as we one by one extinguish the candles before us until on Good Friday the flame on the Christ candle dies.
I would now ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt from Psalm 91. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord,
"My refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust."
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation.
No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent.
For God will give his angels charge over you, to guard you in all your ways.
They will bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, and on the lion and the serpent, you will tread underfoot.
Because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them.
I will grant them, because they know my name.
When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 269 in your red hymnal.
Thank you.
Okay. How are you? Good? Who loves everybody sitting on that side of the church?
Jesus.
Who loves everybody sitting on that side of the church? Yeah, but does Jesus love them people sitting up in the balcony?
Yes.
Okay. Does Jesus love all of us? Yes. Absolutely. Are we all the same?
Yes.
No, we're not. We're not all the same. We're different. Some of us are real different. I mean, who in their right mind would want to be like Fritz? Come on. I love Fritz. So we're all different, but Jesus loves all of us. Are we supposed to love each other?
Yes.
Absolutely. Tell me, what's your favorite thing to do in the whole world? What's your most favorite thing to do? Sing.
Shop.
Dance. Mine's to eat food. Eat food or watch movies. I like watching movies.
Ride the trains.
Yeah, you get along good with Fritz there. Watch movies. Anybody else have a favorite that you really like to do? Okay. You know, and it's fun doing our favorite things, isn't it? It's fun. It excites us. We enjoy it. It actually gives us energy, and we like to do it. And it doesn't take a lot of coaxing for us to do our favorite things. I'm gonna give you some orders, okay? I'm gonna tell you something to do here. First, I want you to go kneel at the altar. And I want you to kneel, get on your knees, kneel at the altar. Okay. Now I want you to repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now close your eyes. Pray silently. Ask God for something. Amen. Now come up here. Now I want you to go and get a Bible. Get a Bible. Bring it here. Is that a Bible? Is that a hymnal? Okay. All right. I want you to look it up, or I want you to go and ask somebody to look it up for you. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Have them look it up and read it to you, okay? So if you need to ask for help, go see somebody and ask them to help you. Gospel of John 3:16. And John is way in the back of the Bible. Towards the back. Yeah, John, J-O-H-N. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, John 3:16. Okay. Yes. Okay, Hannah read that. Look up Genesis chapter 1. Yep, 1:1. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. So go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Wait a minute, say it louder.
In the beginning, God created heavens and earth.
Okay, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to put those Bibles back. Now, go and tell somebody that you don't know Jesus loves you. And then come back up here. Okay, it's easy to do the things we like to do. We don't have to be pushed. But sometimes to do the things that we don't like to do, the things that are inconvenient or no fun, like getting on your knees for a long period of time or studying the Bible or going and talking to strangers, we don't like to do those things. But you know what? We do them because God said to do them. So we live our lives like Christians. We read the Bible and we learn what the Bible says to do with our lives. And then we go out and do it, whether we like to or not. Like some Sundays, we don't like to come to church. But we do it because the Bible says to, because God expects it of us. We don't like to
share what we have with other people, but we do it because God said to. We have a lot of things that we need to do that we're not doing because God said to. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to live good Christian lives, to do what you want us to do, even when we don't feel like it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Sophie and Olivia and Michael and Charles. One more time, a round of applause. Great job. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 13, from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now Paul's words in his letter to the Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This ends the reading of Paul's words. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. His two small sons walked beside him on the road. They came along to watch their lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So he told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then he said, "Dear children, watch our lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. You must be sure the lamb doesn't run away." So he told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then he said, "Dear children, watch the lamb." When they reached the city, he knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyous worship songs. He stood with his children in the midst of angry men. Then he heard the crowd cry out, "Crucify him!" They tried to leave the city, but could not get away. Forced into this drama, a part he did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were they standing where the men would soon pass by? He looked and said, "Even now they come." The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second man was violent. He was arrogant and loud. His hateful, angry voice screamed at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." He could scarce believe his eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. They watched him as he struggled. They watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment they felt such agony. In that moment they felt such loss. A Roman soldier grabbed his arm and screamed, "You! Carry his cross! Carry his cross!" At first he tried to resist. Then the guard reached for his sword. So the man knelt and took the cross from the Lord. He placed it on his shoulder and started down the street. The blood Christ had been shedding now smeared upon his cheek. They led them to Golgotha, drove nails in his feet and hands. Yet upon the cross Christ prayed, "Father, forgive them. Never has there been such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit," he prayed, and then he died. They stood for what seemed like years and lost all sense of time, until he felt two tiny hands tightly intertwined. His children stood there weeping. He heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us." The lamb ran away. "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand." So he took them in his arms and turned and faced the cross. The father said, "Dear children, watch the
Dear Heavenly Father, you have redeemed us. You have saved us from the pit. You have delivered our lives, given us a hope and a future. For that alone, we say praise you. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we have many other blessings. For all of those blessings, we thank you. And we give unto you these tithes and these offerings with a deep heart of gratitude, realizing, Lord, that all that we have and all that we are, we owe to you anyways. It all belongs to you. And so, God, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings, use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody have a joy that they're just busting? Music. Turn 9 on Friday? Okay, past Friday. Took third in the nation. All right. Wedding? Whose? 50. Right. I get it. Yeah, Terry's 50th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. Emily. Family. Yes. Indoor plumbing, thank you. You're going to have to give me more than that. I can't figure that out. What?
Youth group.
Youth group. Yes, absolutely.
Two of my friends were on Steel City News.
What's that? Oh, two of your friends were on Steel City News. At the Wing and Chili Cook-Off?
No, they were at the Mary Poppins.
Oh, okay. Right. And how many people went to the Wings and Chili Cook-Off? Boy, that was great. Good stuff. Tristan. Rhythm and food, yes. If you're joyful for the roof over your heads, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, house that you live in, friends, family, health such that it is, vehicles in which you drive, country in which you live, pets, raise your hand. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. Okay. My homework, your homework, everybody's homework. Please don't take it for granted. There is scratch. We just put paper into our pews this past week so that you have something to write on if you don't want to write on your bulletins. You'll find that in the pew holders in front of you. We want to pray for FUMC, our church. We want to pray for USA, our country. Pray for those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. Our number one job in life is to lead those who are lost to Jesus. Pray for the homeless, for those names on the back of our bulletin. They need our prayers. Pray for those who are sick mentally, physically, spiritually. Pray for my honey bun, Bonnie. She has shingles. Just found that out, so pray for the Wianco family. As Wednesday night, we have Bruce's memorial service. Please pray for staff, Pastor Parish Relations Committee. They've been real busy and they've got some decisions to make. Of course, always pray for our missionaries, those who are battling addiction. Our first responders, pray for our youth group, for Pastor Ron and Robin. Who else do we want to pray for?
Family of Audrey Canelli.
Oh, yes, family of Audrey Canelli. Audrey passed away, so pray for the family and for Bev. And we want to pray for a friend of Amy's. Pardon? Pray for Owen, Mary Alice, Pat and Gwen, Pat, Bill, John, Sean, we did that, Cheryl, Fran. Pray for Joe, our secretary's husband. Pray for my great nephew, Dominic. Just had a pacemaker put in, 4 years old. Unspoken, raise your hand. For all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our blessings. And Lord, help us to share our blessings with others, with strangers, family, and friends. And God, we believe, God, help our unbelief. And we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of these requests that we have made known here today. You know the details. And we believe, God, that if you be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We have favor with God and man. With you, God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We believe it, God. Your word settles it. It must be so. And so, Lord, we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke. Please stand, if you are able. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, we asked the kids what their favorite thing to do was, and let me ask you, being that this is Lent and all, what are you tempted by? Chocolate? I hear that. I know. It's become a physical addiction. The moment that you start to go on a diet and give up sweets, your body craves sugar. And I think that the best form of sugar is chocolate. What tempts you? What is your personal temptation? Not what are temptations in general, but what tempts you? Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. People have all kinds of temptations. For some people, it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, tobacco, lust. For other people, it's gossiping. It's lying. It's their ego. They're narcissists. Self-centered. For some people, it's stealing. Other people, it's being a bully and putting fear into other people, emotionally or physically. And the list goes on. People are tempted to do all kind of things. So what is it? What is then temptation? Temptation are those. It's those things that we find hard to resist and that take us away from God. Takes our focus off of God. Things that we find hard to resist. We actually lose control
when it comes to some temptations. When our temptations are greater than our love for God, that's sin. See, when temptation is greater than our love from God, it becomes our idol. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You hear me say that a lot. Jesus said we have to love him more than we love anyone else, more than we love life itself. We have to love him more than we love whatever it is that tempts us, more than we love chocolate, more than we love lying or gossiping or being a bully, more than we love addictions in our lives. We have to love Jesus more than anything. See, and let those who have ears hear. When you have that much love for Christ, that's the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not easy, I know. That's why it's called temptation, and that's why it happens in our weak areas. It's the areas that we struggle in that we have our greatest temptation. There are some things that we are tempted by, but it's easy to say, nope, won't do that, won't go there. But you got to understand that with every temptation, there is a spiritual side to it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is roaming around the world looking for someone to devour. And the devil is cunning. A lion attacks an animal at its weakest. The devil is looking for your weak point. And how does he devour people? Through temptation. The devil tempts us and leads us astray, distracts us, gets us to turn our backs on God, to give in to temptation. That's how he devours us. But I'm a Christian. I go to church. I shouldn't have to worry about these things. You know, I go to church. I hang out with some other Christians. And well, Matthew 7:21, and this scripture scares me, okay? You know, it always makes me second guess myself sometimes. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, people who look and act like Christians, who sit in church, are those who call Jesus Lord, Lord, but because of temptation, they fall away. Matthew 24 says that in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. People are going to fall away. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, to Jesus will enter into heaven. God will not be mocked. Temptations can lead us astray. And if we look at Jesus' trial in the wilderness, Jesus was alone in the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out there. He didn't go home and pack. He went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Roasting hot during the day, freezing cold at night, no 5-star motel to stay in. And he didn't eat that whole time. He spent it in reflection and prayer. And when he was at his weakest, the devil came and tempted him. And of course, after 40 days, Jesus was really hungry. You can imagine. Imagine 40 days and all of a sudden the smell of homemade bread. Man, I tell you what, that's got to be one of the best smells in the whole world. My mom, I knew, I grew up my mom cooking, baking bread. I just, what a smell. And the devil says to Jesus, turn this, if you are the Son of God, turn this bread, this stone into bread. Turn that stone into bread. Have some warm, fresh bread. You can do that. Hunger drives us to do some strange and dangerous, wrongful things sometimes. Not just hunger for food, but a hunger for other things. Jesus said, it is written. Man does not live on bread alone. So he couldn't get him in his physical area. So he takes Jesus up on a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I'll give you control over all these kingdoms. I'll give you all their wealth. It'll be yours. And why does he say that? Because he's appealing to Jesus' vanity. He's appealing to Jesus' desire to help the people. He knew that Jesus was there because he loved people. Listen, I'll help you achieve your goals. The ends justify the means. It's okay. You can help everybody because I'll give you the whole world. All you got to do is worship me instead of God. Man, that sounds like a beautiful thing. He could help a lot of people. I want to tell you, temptation has a beautiful side to it. Temptation can look really good. Oh, come on. It's not, you know, let's talk about so-and-so, you know, because we need to pray for her. So that gives us license to gossip. It's just a little white lie. I didn't want to hurt anybody. You know, I didn't want to ruin anybody's reputation, so I didn't tell the truth. Well, I stole because I know that so-and-so would really like this, and I didn't have the money to get it, so I figured it would be okay to steal it. After all, strong shall survive. It's okay to pick on somebody and bully them and push them around. I'm defending somebody else. I'm telling you, we got all kind of reasons. Temptation can look real appealing to us and sound real good, but be poison to our spirits. So he said he could have the whole world. Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil tempted Jesus by questioning his claim to be the Son of God. He took him up to the pinnacle on the temple and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Prove to everybody, prove to the world that you are the Son of God, because his angels, God has given his angels charge over you and will not let you hit the ground. But throw yourself from this pinnacle and we'll let everybody watch you fall and all of a sudden stop as angels catch you. If you are the Son of God. And that's one of the devil's favorite tactics. Doubt. Getting us to doubt our relationship with Jesus. Getting us to doubt our Christianity. Getting us to doubt whether or not it's worth going through all this hassle and making all these sacrifices. Getting us to doubt whether or not we should even go to church. Getting us to doubt whether or not the Word of God is really the Word of God. Doubt, doubt, doubt. And he started that tactic with Adam and Eve. Did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, that you'll be like him. It is pleasing fruit. Look at it. Doubt. A tactic of the enemy, if you are. It says in James chapter 1, verse 6, but when you ask God for anything, you must not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed about by the wind. And in James 1, 13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted. He can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by their own evil desire they are dragged away and enticed. Jesus replied to the devil with simply, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Well, we all struggle with temptations of all kinds, one kind or another. Sometimes those temptations overpower us and drag us away. Thanks be to God. All we have to do is repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness. We get it. Our first line of defense in this world of evil surrounded by all these temptations, our first line of defense is what Jesus did here. It is written. To quote the word of God. Because the devil knows what it is too. And he knows if you're quoting the Word of God, that you're standing on the Word of God. You're standing on the authority of God's Word. It is written. That's why it's so important that you know what is written. Your first attack against, or your first defense against temptation is a spiritual one. It is written. So practice that. Study the Scriptures so that you can say it when it's needed, because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. James chapter 4, verse 3 says this: submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and God will come near to you. So here during Lent, examine your life. See what it is that you wrestle with. What temptation is it that is dragging you away from God, preventing you from being a better disciple of Jesus Christ? And then take authority over that temptation. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Say, it is written. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. Number 2152, Change My Heart, O God. I struggle with our temptations. Sometimes we give in to them. Just repent and ask for forgiveness. But there are other people who have surrendered to their temptations and it's ruining their lives. You need to tell them about Jesus, how the love for Jesus Christ can set them free. Don't forget to stay for the soup kitchen. And we have our quick PPR meeting here in the parlor. Lots of stuff going on. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Give us strength, boldness. Help us, Lord, to stand upon your word. Help us, God, to take authority over the temptations in our lives in the name of Jesus. It is written. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen.